بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من ولا هم بعد. So we were still doing the story of the man in the two gardens, and we had mentioned that the man who owned the two gardens, he was guilty of many sins and crimes. Of the biggest of them was that he challenged Allah's authority to resurrect the dead. He challenged Allah's authority to have a Yawm al-Qiyamah. Also of his crimes was that he ascribed all of this to himself. And of his crimes was that he looked down at his brother or his friend simply because he didn't have what he had. So it gave him the crime of arrogance. Now, the brother or the friend, we don't know, some scholars say it might have been his brother, some say it was his friend. The brother or his friend, when he's responding back to him, he responds back not in the order of his conversation, but in the order of what is the greatest crime and then the next and then the next. So even though the man begins by boasting about himself being superior, when his friend responds back, that is the last thing that he says. Because that's not what he's concerned with. The thing that he's concerned with is, how dare you be, are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could you be so ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so the man says, let me go back to where we are now. We are which ayah? 39? Okay. Let me go back to 38. لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. So he defends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, as for me, Allah is my Lord and I will not associate any partners with him. So his first criticism was what? Rejecting Allah as the source of all that he has. How dare you ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that he's responded to that, now he gets to the next point. And the next point is, your arrogance that you have should have led you to humility. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ. Why didn't you do this? That instead of your wealth making you feel better, it should have been the opposite. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ. Allah says when he entered the Jannah, he was wronging himself. When he entered the Jannah, his arrogance got the better of him. The man says you should have done the opposite. When you entered your garden, you should have been in a state of humbleness and humility. How do you get to the state of humbleness and humility? وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You should have thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should have ascribed these blessings to Allah. You should have said, this is not my garden, أَنَا. You should have said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. And مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ here means whatever Allah wills has occurred. Allah has blessed me with this. La quwwata illa billah. There is no power except the power of Allah. I didn't have the power to get this garden. This is not my efforts. This is not my wealth. This is not my endeavors. La quwwata illa billah. All power is Allah's and Allah's alone. So any power that was needed to get this garden, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this phrase over here is a combination of two very common phrases. MashaAllah we say, and La hawla la quwwata illa billah we also say. And this has combined both of these. MashaAllah, La quwwata illa billah. And these are phrases that the Sunnah and even the Quran has come praising them. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, should I not tell you of a phrase that is found under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In another hadith, he passed by a sahabi doing dhikr and he said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى بَابٍ مِّنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. Should I not tell you of one of the doors that will open you up into the doors of Jannah? One of the doors that lead to Jannah. So he said, what? So the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it is also mentioned that this is one of the phrases that is inscribed literally on the doors of Jannah. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So this is one of those phrases that we should repeat. We should make it a part of our ritual to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And especially when we feel a sense of, in Arabic it's called ghurur, and in English it means a type of self-delusion, self-grandeur. When we feel ghurur from ourselves, or we feel hasad of somebody else, both of these scenarios. So the first is, you feel arrogant for what you have. The second, you feel jealous for what someone else has. And these are two very common problems amongst all of us. That sometimes we get something new, flashy, we get our new house, our new car, we get, and we feel, yes, I've made it. Ah, khalas, I've reached there. This is it now, right? And by the way, this feeling only lasts for a week or two. Then human nature, we crave the next. We want something better than that. So if we feel this type of ghurur, we should get rid of it by saying, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We say these phrases to cleanse our heart of that delusion. Similarly, if we feel greedy for somebody else's wealth, if we feel jealous, if we feel a sense of, how come they have it and I don't have it? We should also say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Or combine this phrase, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. And this has been narrated by many of the Sahaba, that Anas ibn Malik and others, they said, if you find yourself feeling hasad for somebody, you find yourself feeling jealous for what they have, you should say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. This is a phrase that should be said. Also, once a very long narration, just to summarize it, one of the Sahaba, he was known to be very handsome, extremely handsome. And it so happened that another companion saw him and felt jealousy. That how come he's so handsome, felt jealousy. And this jealousy, it led to ayn, or the evil eye. And the handsome Sahabi fell ill. Instead of being handsome, he developed a disease all over his body to corrupt that handsomeness. When the Prophet ﷺ visited him, he said, somebody must have said something. He recognized this to be the evil eye. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, so and so, he mentioned some praise of this man. Perhaps it was that man. So the Prophet ﷺ visited the other Sahabi and he said, did you say such and such a phrase? The Sahabi said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, I did. Meaning, I felt something in my heart. So the Prophet ﷺ said, why didn't you barakta lahu? Yani say, MashaAllah, tabarakallah, or to be more precise, excuse me, not tabarakallah. Say, barakallahu lak. Say, may Allah increase you in what you have. And by the way, I made the mistake as well. It's a very common phrase. We say, MashaAllah, tabarakallah. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But tabarakallah is a praise of Allah. And what you're supposed to say when you feel jealous is you make dua that Allah gives barakah in the other person's wealth, which is barakallahu lak. So you're supposed to say, if you feel jealous, MashaAllah, barakallahu lak. May Allah give you more barakah. To say MashaAllah, tabarakallah is not a problem, it's a proper phrase. But that doesn't get to the root of the problem, which is you make a dua for the one that you feel jealous. You're supposed to say MashaAllah, barakallahu lak. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are the phrases that you say. And that's what our Prophet ﷺ said. Fahalla barakta lahu. Why didn't you say barakallahu lak? May Allah give you extra than what you have. Because when you make this dua, that jealousy will go away. And if you truly believe in the promise of the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? Never does a Muslim make a dua for another Muslim except that an angel right then and there says Ameen, and may you get exactly what you made dua for him for. So you see somebody with a beautiful mansion, you see somebody with a fancy car, you see somebody with that wealth or whatever, make dua for him sincerely. And guess what? Allah will give you exactly that as well, if you were sincere. And the angel will say Ameen to that dua. So instead of feeling that jealousy, you're supposed to say MashaAllah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another point, by the way, bit of an issue here in our culture, the Indian Pakistani culture, the phrase la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is always associated with something bad and evil, right? So when you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it has to be something terrible has occurred. And I remember one of our brethren came to me and said, I don't understand, when we hear the adhan, that hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, why do we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? You know, why do we do something like so wrong? Like what is so wrong that we have to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? The phrase la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is not and should not be associated only with something terrible. Yes, you may say it at any time, and if you hear some terrible news, you may also say la hawla la quwwata illa billah. But the phrase is not inherently associated with something musiba or a calamity. Rather, the phrase is a generic phrase. La hawl, and hawl means change. Wa la quwwa means no power. Nothing will change unless Allah wills it. And nobody has the power to execute the change unless Allah has willed it. So, when you hear hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stand up and walk to the masjid. That standing will not happen. That quwwa will not come. That change from sitting to standing will not come until Allah gives it to you. That's why you say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Right? That the change will come, the quwwa will come when Allah gives it to me. Also, you're supposed to say it when you feel ghurur, that you feel, oh, my efforts, my degree, my education, my smart, my intelligence. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. All of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, notice another point here. This man, this Muslim, who's criticizing his brother, even in his criticism, he's teaching him what he's supposed to have done. You see, a Muslim never criticizes just by negative, just by demeaning, just by putting down. Even in this criticism, there is what? Solution. This is what you're supposed to have done. The Muslim, even in his criticism, he is merciful and tender. He didn't just say, how foolish, how arrogant, how could you have done that? Rather, he taught him the right goal. Instead of doing this, you should have done that. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Then he goes to the third and the final point. So the first was a rejection of Allah. The second was his own arrogance. The third was to look down at his brother. And his brother or his friend responds to all of these in the order that it deserves. Allah Azza wa Jal and the defense of Islam is first. And then the man's arrogance. And then in the last is his own demeaning. He has been demeaned, right? And nobody likes it that somebody is boastful over you. So he also defends himself. But even this, there is an element of threat and mercy. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. If you really think, and here there is the sense of this is your delusion. إِن تَرَنِي, you are assuming that I'm less than you. He didn't say I am less than you. He said you perceive me to be less than you. And this is a beautiful way of phrasing it. إِن تَرَنِي, if you really believe, that's your position. Allah knows who's the one who's higher and lower. But if you feel that I'm lower than you, just because I have less money, and just because I have less children, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. Isn't it possible that Allah might give me something better than what you have? You here are being arrogant at something you have. What if the situation is reversed? What if something happens to you and your garden? And Allah blesses me with a garden. And even if I don't get a better garden in this world, I expect a better Jannah in the next world. Even if my Jannah is never going to be as big as your Jannah in this world, I have full faith, if I am true to Allah, that in the next life I will get my Jannah. And I will get my palace if I am persistent in my ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for you, are you not worried that your arrogance will bring about Allah's destruction? Don't you have a sense of fear and shame? We know from the ahadith, Allah despises kibr. Man has no right to feel an atom's weight of pride. Who are you that you feel proud of yourself? Who are you? Allah created you and all that you have. Allah gave you and all that you have. And then man comes along and then attributes it to himself. And that is why the sin of kibr, what did our Prophet ﷺ say? Even an atom's weight of kibr, if a heart has it, that heart will not enter Jannah. Allah will forgive zina, Allah will forgive khamr, Allah will forgive. But the sin of kibr, it is a sin that is not befitting of a created mortal, of a human, of somebody who's created from nutfa and from teen and from alaq. Such a person to feel kibr against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is simply not befitting. Have you no fear that Allah might destroy you and your garden and cause all of your land to become completely infertile, or take your water, يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا, your water will simply disappear, فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا, and you will not be able to extract that water out. And just as they are talking, and the man tells him, be careful, your arrogance might get you Allah's punishment. As they are there, right then and there, the man's warning comes into effect. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. And wallahi, this is the height of eloquence. Allah spends four verses describing his garden, and Allah spends two words talking about his destruction. Means nothing in the eyes of Allah. Four ayat describe, we did this, we gave this, the land is this, the wood is this, the water is this. And then the destruction, Allah gives us no details. Why? Because what does this garden mean to Allah? وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. That's it. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرٍ His whole garden was surrounded. By what? Allah doesn't need to tell you the details. This is Allah's qudra. All of the garden is destroyed. The garden is surrounded by Allah's punishment. Some say a fire came, some say a tornado, some say this. This is all irrelevant. Allah Azza wa Jal says, that which this man was warning against, that's exactly occurred. And the both of them are there, and they see the garden being destroyed. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا He started wringing his hands as a sign of regret, as a sign of remorse, out of all that he had spent to purchase it, to maintain it, to build that palace. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا Literally, it is a metaphorical expression. It's as if Allah is saying, the roof became the ground. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا It was collapsed in its totality. The urush, which is the sakh, which is the roof became down to the ground and it became completely empty. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّ أَحَدًا That is when he realized. But as usual, regret and remorse after the azab is of no use. Regret and remorse has to come before the azab. After the azab, what point is it? Everyone will regret when they see the punishment. Even Fir'aun, we recited yesterday in the Quran, even Fir'aun, and he is the worst human being in the history of Bashar. Nobody was worse than Fir'aun. Even Fir'aun, when he saw the Malakul Maut, when he saw the azab of Allah, what did he say? قَالَ آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَ قَالَ آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي آمَنَ بِهِ بَنْ إِسْرَائِلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I am of the Muslims. I believe in that God that the Bani Israel believed in. And Allah mocks him. Al-an? Now? Al-an? After all of this, now? وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَوْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ That's not going to happen. So here is this man. After the azab, everybody feels regret. The point is, the real test is, before that azab, are you going to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says, how I wish that I hadn't committed shirk. And Allah says, وَلَمْ تَكُلْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنصُرُونَهُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنتَصِرًا Here he was saying, I have أَعَزُّ نَفَرًا I have more children, I have an army, I am Aziz. And Allah says, nobody could protect him when the punishment came. He didn't have a fi'ah. Where did that Aziz go? Where did that Malan and Banin go? Where did all of his wealth go? وَلَمْ تَكُلْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنصُرُونَهُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ No one could protect him against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ مُنتَصِرًا Nor could he defend himself or anybody else defend him. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ This is where Allah's wilayah, and here wilayah means protection. This is where Allah's protection is truly shown. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا Meaning, at times of ease, the Muslim and the kafir enjoy the ease. It's at times of punishment and difficulty that Allah's wilayah is really shown. At times of ease, everybody enjoys ease. It's at times of azab, at times of distress, when the dua needs to be answered, when the azab comes, this is when the mu'min is separated from the kafir and the fasiq. هُنَالِكْ At that point in time, الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقُبًا Allah is the one who has the best reward and the best end result. You see, the man at the time was only looking at that particular point of time, I am better than you. But his brother, the believer, knew that the end result, he will be successful. And that is what Allah is saying. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا عُقْبًا means the end result. ثَوَاب means reward. Allah has the best reward and the best end result. The real winner is not the winner who's rich at one point in his life. He's the one who's wealthy and happy for eternity. And that's in Jannah. The real winner doesn't just look at one day, he looks at eternity. And the only being that will give you that eternity, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will continue. The next three verses are also about Mal and Banun. And we'll continue that tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.